Today's shir is Masechta Moed Katan Daf Dalad. We will begin on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. V'hanei Hilchasun Anu. In our previous year, we discussed the concept of Tosfos Shviyos, that before the Shemitah year begins, one already has to start treating his field as if it was Shemitah. And we discussed at the end of the year that the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai teaches us that halacha begins with Chodesh Elul, 30 days before the Shemitah begins, and that is a halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. As we also learned in our previous year, the Gemara taught us that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel extended that halacha of Tosfos Shviyos to Shavuos, to Pesach, and we also learned that Rabbi Gamliel abolished that enactment. And we learned that Rav Gamliel had every right to do so, because as we discussed in the shir, when Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel established the rule, they said that if there will be a need to abolish it, what they will be allowed to abolish it. Ask the Gemara of Hani Hilchos Ananu, is the rule of Tosfos Shviyos Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai? Kroninu, ask the Gemara, isn't it a pasuk? The Tanya the Braisa teaches us. The pasuk says, Shesh Shamim Tavud, for 6 days of the week we should work. So the first part of the pasuk is obviously easy to understand. It's speaking about Shabbos, that during the week we work, and on Shabbos we don't work. But the question is, what do the last words of the pasuk, becharish ubekatzar tishbeis, teach us? Rav Akiva Omer, the pasuk is not talking about Shabbos, because if we speak about Shabbos, why would the pasuk single out Charisha and Katsira? Why would it single out these two melachas? There are so many other melachas. Furthermore, says Rekiva, we can't say that the pasuk speaking about Charish and Katsar of Shemitah, so Tosfos asked the question, then our shir yesterday, we spoke quite extensively that although the Torah is very clear in teaching us that Zriya, planting, is also during the Shemitah year, but the Torah never said that Charish is also. So why is the Rav Akiva over here saying, V'ein tzarich loimer, that there's no need to tell us Charish v'katzar shel Shviyos? Absolutely, there's a need to teach us the halacha of Charish of Shviyos, because as we discussed extensively in our previous year, there is no source in the Torah that is the halacha. So Tosfos answers that the focus on the statement Rabbi Akiva is making now is not on the Charisha element, it's on the Katsira element, which the question is, that Rabbi Akiva says, that the question is, why does the Torah have to tell us that Katsira is also during Shemitah, when the Torah already told us that Katsira is also? Another teretz that Tosfos suggests is that we discussed extensively as well in our previous year, there's a machlokes if one gets malchus for doing Charisha in the Shemitah year. Machlokes of Yochanan Rabbi Lazar, without us knowing who holds what. Says Tosfos, we're going to have to say that Rabbi Akiva agrees with the opinion that says that there is malchus for Charisha in the Shemitah year, and therefore the question that he just posed now is very understandable. Why do we need a pasuk to teach us that Charisha is usher in the Shemitah year? Ella, the pasuk is coming to teach us, says Rabbi Akiva, Charish al Eretz Shviyos shenichnas l'Shviyos, that if we plowed in the field before the Shemitah year, that is usher. Katzar shel Shviyos sheyatzel matzah Shviyos, or if something that grew during the Shemitah year, anything that grew in the Shemitah year, even now when I'm cutting it, that it's ready the year, it's ready after the Shemitah year, since it grew by a third during the Shemitah year, it's prohibited to eat that. With that is the halach of Tosfos Shviyos. Rav Shmuel disagrees. He says that this pasuk doesn't speak about Shemitah, which is the pshat in the pasuk, because the pasuk begins with Shesh Shem and Tavid. So certainly the beginning of the pasuk is focused on Shabbos. Tells us Rav Shmuel, what do we learn? Ma Chorish. What type of Charisha is Osur in Shabbos? Rishus. Only a Charisha that one is not obligated to do. For, explains the Gemara, there is never a time that one is obligated to do a Harisha. Af Kotzer, when we speak about the Kotzer that's also to be done on Shabbos is Rishus. Yotzer, it comes to exclude Ktsira Oy Mishimitzu. As we know, the second day of Pesach, the night of the second day of Pesach, there was a mitzvah to cut from the new Tvua, barley from the new Tvua, and it had to take place on specifically on that night, even if that night is Shabbos. So the Pasuk is teaching us that what type of activity is also in Shabbos. What's also in Shabbos is something that doesn't represent a mitzvah. But something that represents a mitzvah may be done on Shabbos, even though this is a malacha that may normally not be done in Shabbos. And Tosfos explains that the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is how do we look at this Pasuk. Is the Pasuk coming to teach us a kula or coming to teach us a chumra? And they both agree that it seems that the Pasuk is coming to teach us that we're not allowed to do something. And therefore, even though the Pasuk, he's explaining the Pasuk speaks about Shabbos, and by saying that it speaks about Shabbos, he ends up with a kula, as we just learned, you're allowed to do ktsira, that is a mitzvah on Shabbos. Still, says Tosfos, Rabbi Shmuel is prepared to take a Pasuk, which seems to be teaching us a Chumrah, and say that it's teaching us a Kula, but keep it in the context, as the Pasuk seems to be teaching us that it's talking about Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, is committed to the opinion that this Pasuk is coming to teach us a Chumrah. But there is no Chumrah that, as we learned, that it could be talking about on Shabbos. So therefore, without any other option, Rabbi Akiva says that the second half of the Pasuk is talking about Shemitah. So Rishonim ask, we said that what is the definition according to Akiva? Katzish l'shvius, shiotzel matzah shvius. And we explained that it's talking about grain that grew a third, and it's usur to eat that matzah Shabbos. So Rishonim ask, if this grain already grew a third in the Shemitah year, so then it has nothing to do with Tosfos Shvius. It's much more, it has Kedusha Shvius. So what does the Pasuk come to teach us? So Rishonim answer, if we didn't have a concept of Tosfos Shvius, indeed the produce would be Asur because it has Kedusha Shvius, given that it grew a third in the Shemitah year. But there would be no Isser to work on this property because it's already after the Shemitah year. Teaches us the Pasuk that not only is the produce that grew a third in the Shemitah year Usur, according to Rekiva, but the land that it's on, the property that's on, is Usur to work on as well. So Rav Shmuel held that there is no time that Harisha is a mitzvah because Harisha, you don't have to do Harisha. Harisha is a Hechsha mitzvah. Why? So Rashi explains, because let's say you have a field that was already plowed. There is no mitzvah to plow it. So ask the Ritva, yes, Rashi is correct that if we found a field that's already plowed, there is no mitzvah to plow the field in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Tzirus Omer. But what happens if you didn't find such a field? So then there would be a mitzvah. So how is Rabbi Shmuel saying that plowing the field for the mitzvah of Ktziris Omer never a mitzvah? So the Ritva says a very simple teretz. He says it's inconceivable to say that in all of Eretz Yisrael we won't find any field that isn't plowed already. That's very unlikely, and therefore Harisha is a mitzvah. Another pshat that the Ritva says, that even if we'll say that we have to do the Harisha in order to get the field ready to plow on, they're ready to do Ktziris Omer on, that Harisha, and of course that's a necessary step, but it doesn't have to be done on Shabbos. It can be done during the week, and still we'll have Tvua to do Ktziris Omer with. And therefore, the Harisha can never be considered a mitzvah. The Gemara in Masechta Makos Daf Chesam and Beis teaches us that even if one plows a field with the intent to plant barley for the Omer, as we just said, the plowing is not considered a mitzvah since there's no halacha that requires one to plow for the purpose of the Omer. As we said, the Torah allows us to do Ktziras Omer on a field that's already plowed on. And if that's the case, that means that the plowing is only a hechsher mitzvah. It's not considered a mitzvah. And that's why we could understand what the Gemara says, that it's considered rishus. However, when it comes to cutting the Omer, the cutting of the Omer is a mitzvah. And since the cutting of the Omer is a mitzvah, even when there is already available Omer that's already cut, there's a specific mitzvah to cut it. And therefore, the halacha is that it's a mitzvah to do the Ktziras Omer. The Mishnah over there, Masechta Makkos, uses the same kind of logic regarding one who goes to Golus for killing someone b'shoigig. The Torah says that if a chip of wood flies out from under one's axe and kills someone, the perpetrator has to run to Golus. The Gemara in Makkos derives from the Torah's example of chopping wood, which is a rishus, that one only goes to Golus if he killed someone b'shoigig when he was doing a non-mitzvah act. However, if one was involved in a mitzvah, for example, somebody was supposed to get malchus, and the court officer, while he was giving the malchus, accidentally killed someone, he's exempt from golus. So the Gemara explains that chopping wood is always considered rishus, even in the case of somebody who's chopping wood for a sukkah. Because the Torah doesn't require one to chop new wood for a sukkah if he can find ready-cut wood. Rashi says that chopping wood for one sukkah is not a mitzvah, but building a sukkah is a mitzvah. Says the Binyan Shloima that building a sukkah is not comparable to chopping wood for a sukkah. Building the sukkah is an actual mitzvah, whereas chopping the wood is only a hechsher mitzvah. And therefore, because of this, says the Binyan Shloima, that there's a mitzvah for every person to be personally involved with the construction of his own sukkah. Because there's a rule throughout Shas, mitzvah boy yosem eshluchay, and one can perform a mitzvah himself, or have a messenger, have an agent do the mitzvah on his behalf. He should do it himself. So, therefore, he says that if somebody sitting in a sukkah, which he did not build himself, there's a mitzvah for him to shift the schach, that it should show that he's personally involved in the sukkah building. So, back to our Gemara, that according to Rekiva, Tosfos Shviyos is learned from this pasuk. And yesterday, at the end of the shiur, we discussed that Tosfos Shviyos is a halach l'mosh m'sinai. Ella Amar Nachman B'Yitzchak, Ki Gemiri Hilchasa, the halach l'mosh m'sinai was here to teach us a different halacha. L'mishra Yalda, as we said in our previous shiur, that if you have a field that's the size of a saw by saw, and it has 10 young saplings, then the halacha allows us to work on that field up to Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, up to Rosh Hashanah. There's no Tosfos Shviyos. And Kra, the pasuk that we're talking about, that teaches us Tosfos Shviyos, that's what the pasuk teaches us. Ask the Gemara, but I don't understand. The Kivin the Hilchos L'Mishra Yalda. What's the halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai tells us that we're allowed to work on that field that has those young trees? Lab M'Mela, don't we understand that Zekein Asira, that in a field with older trees, one may not work on? Because it's obvious. Otherwise, why would we need a dispensation on such a field? So therefore, says the Gemara, El Hilchos L'Fira V'Shmol, when we say that halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, that we're allowed to work on this field with the young trees, as a going according to Rabbi Shmuel. Kra, the pasuk that says that Tosfos Shviyos is asur, is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. According to him, there is no halacha l'mosh m'sinai. And the halacha that we're allowed to work on a field that has these 10 young trees until Rosh Hashanah is that the pasuk is only talking about a field that has fully grown trees. But a field that has these young trees, that's not what the pasuk is talking about. And accordingly, the pasuk that we're allowed to plow until Rosh Hashanah, and Beis Hillel that said you can't plow from Shavuos and from Pesach, either will hold like Rav Shmuel, and will hold that the issur to plow is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, as we said at the end of yesterday's shir, or they'll hold Rav Akiva, that they learn it from a pasuk, but they're going to say that the pasuk is only referring to the 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. Came Beis Hillel and said that we extended to Pesach and Shavuos, but they also made a rule that if anybody sees the need to abolish that enactment, they will be allowed to. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Gamliel and Beis Dinoy, the Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din that said that the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai says that we're not allowed to work on the field for 30 days before Shavuos, midrash about Lahu. They found a pasuk in the Torah that taught them they may do so, and explains the Gemara. My Tama, Gomer, why did they learn that? Because they learn Gzeirah Shavah. They learn Shabbos, Shabbos, Meshabbos, Bereishis. Shabbos, Bereishis means that the Shabbos that we have every week. Malah Halan, he has Surah. By Shabbos, the Halacha is that we're not allowed to do Malacha. However, Lefanel, Achrei Mutarim, before Shabbos and after Shabbos, we're allowed to do Malacha. Afkan, so too, by Shemitah, the Halacha will be, he, a Surah, one may not work on the field in the Shemitah year, but Lefanel, Achrei Mutarim, and there is no din of Tosfos Shvi'is. So Tosfos asks that by Shabbos, there's also a Halacha of Tosfos Shabbos, that we have to be Moisif Michal on Shabbos. So how are we saying that just like Shabbos doesn't have any extra, it's just Shabbos itself when we're not allowed to do Malacha, so too is the Halacha by Shemitah. That's not true. On Shabbos also, we're not allowed to do Malacha, even before and after Shabbos. So Tosfos answers that the amount of time that the Halacha requires for Tosfos Shabbos is a very minimal amount of time. And since it's such an insignificant amount of time, that doesn't mean that there's a Halacha of Tosfos Shvi'is. The Ravid explains that the reason that we have to have Tosfos Shabbos is not because there's an independent obligation to have Tosfos Shabbos. The Halacha is that one has to be careful not to do Malacha on Shabbos. And since one has to be careful not to do Malacha on Shabbos, that already begins from Ben HaShemoshes. But because Ben HaShemoshes, as we often discuss in Shas, is a very unclear time, so Chazal said that to be confident that one won't be doing any work in the time of Ben HaShemoshes, we have to have a Tosfos Shabbos, both Friday afternoon and Shabbos afternoon. But it isn't an independent chiyuv, unlike what we're discussing about Tosfos Shvi'is, that it has an independent status. Maskov or Rashi asks Ravashi to Rabbi Yochanan, Mandam Mahilchasa, according to the Mandam that says that the Halacha of Tosfos Shvi'is is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Ask the Gemara, ask you Gzeirah Shavah Akra Hilchasa, can a Gzeirah Shavah uproot Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai? And furthermore, ask the Gemara, Mandam Akra, and the opinion that held that Tosfos Shvi'is we learn from a pasuk. Same question, ask you Gzeirah Shavah, can a Gzeirah Shavah Akra Kra take away what the pasuk teaches us? Says the Gemara, Elam Rav Ashi, a whole different reason why Rav Gamliel was able to abolish Tosfos Shvi'is. Rav Gamliel and Beis Dinoy sphere like Rav Shmuel, Dama Hilchos Gemira. They agree with Rav Shmuel that the Halacha of Tosfos Shvi'is is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. The key Gemira Hilchosa, and when was the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai taught? Bezman Shmei Samidush Kayim, Dumin Nidin Sachamayim. As we began the Sugya in yesterday's Shir, the Gemara grouped together three Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinais. The Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai of Tosfos Shvi'is, the Halacha that you're allowed to work on the field that has the young saplings until Rosh Hashanah, the Halacha of Nisach HaMayim that we did on Sukkos, the Halacha of Arava that we did around the Mizbeach on Sukkos. All of those Halachas, says the Gemara, travel together. And since all of these Halachas travel together, the Halacha is that only Bizman Shabbos Manish Kaim Loi, only when the Beis Manish is standing, is there a halacha that we have Tosfos Shvi'is. When there's no Beis Manish Kaim, then there's no Tosfos Shvi'is. So Tosfos Rosh asks, in the beginning of yesterday's shir, we had a discussion if Shvi'is Bizman Azeh is the Reis of the Rabbonin. If it's the Rabbanon, how can we have this discussion? So Tosfos Rosh explains that Shvius Bezman Hazeh, that this opinion is following the opinion that Shemitah Bezman Hazeh is Midaraisa. Another pshat is that even if you hold that Shemitah Bezman Hazeh is the Rabbanon, still, Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai is a fantastic chiddush that Rabbi Yoshev says in the Sefer. Rabbi Yoshev says that Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai are not only said vis-a-vis the Raisas. Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai can be said even vis-a-vis the Rabbanon, and that's pshat in this Gemara. There's a very interesting question. Does a chosin fast on Tu B'Shvat? If a chosin is getting married on Tu B'Shvat, does he fast? And the question is that Tu B'Shvat is really not the same type of yontif as all the other yontif, Yom Tovim. Because all the other Yom Tovim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, whatever, are full-fledged Yom Tovim. Tu B'Shvat is a yontif that is a yontif because that's when, as we learned when we learned Masech Rosh Hashanah, that's when the sap in the tree goes up. So if that's the case, the question is, maybe Tu B'Shvat, which really doesn't represent a yontif, the chassan should have to fast. We should maybe say tachnun on Tu B'Shvat. So the Paiskim use the concept that we just discussed in our Gemara. The Mishnah in Masech Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the Masech, speaks about all the different types of Rosh Hashanah. Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, and Tu B'Shvat. So since, as we just learned in our Gemara, when we find something is grouped together, that is an indication that all the halachas are the same. And that's why we just learned, since Nisach HaMayim only applies when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, and Arava only applies when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, so too is the halacha regarding Tosfos Shvius. Similarly, if the Mishnah Masechta Rosh Hashanah, at the beginning of the Masechta, groups together all the various different types of Rosh Hashanah, it's obvious that they all are treated the same way. And just like their full-fledged Yom Tovim, so is Tu B'Shvat a Yontif. We learned in the Mishnah, Avaloi Memei Geshamim, rainwater that gathered in one spot, we can't water a Beis HaShalchin. As we discussed, the Beis HaShalchin is the field that's on top of the mountain that needs additional rainwater. Vimei Kilon, that we may not use the water that's in a teapot. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Vimei Kilon, we could understand why one may not water a field on Chol HaMoed from the Mei Kilon, because there's Ikka Terchi Yaseira. But ask the Gemara, Mei Gshamim, Mei Terchi Ikka. Where is the Terchi that's involved in Mei Gshamim? So most Rishonim explain that the difference between Mei Kilon and Mei Gshamim is that the Kilon is a very deep pit where the water gathers, and therefore getting that water out involves a big Terchi. The rainwater doesn't go into such a deep pit. Another pshat is the rainwater pits typically are picked up with a pail because the water rises all the way to the top. Whereas by the Mei Kilon, the pit is usually very deep, and therefore the water doesn't rise up that high. And therefore, since it doesn't rise up that high, it's much more work to gather that water. Another pshat is that the Mei Geshamim were typically gathered near the trees, so it isn't such a bother to get that water to the tree. Whereas the Mei Kilon is not near the tree, so it involves more tircha. Amar Rabbi Lo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan answers the Gemara, Gzeira Mei Geshamim Ata Mei Kilon. Chazal made a Gzeira that if we allow you to use Mei Geshamim, you may come to use Mei Kilon. And just like we just learned that Mei Kilon is Asur, and Mei Geshamim are very similar, and the way Rashi explains, because the Kilon water is really rainwater, and the Mei Geshamim is rainwater, and therefore we have to be concerned. The Ritva says the similarity is that they're both pools of water. And since they're both pools of water, that's why Chazal felt that we should say that the Mei Geshamim are Asur because of the Mei Kilon. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi says, Mei Geshamim Gufayla Medei Kilon Asul. We have to be concerned that the Mei Geshamim may end up being Mei Kilon. That means after you start drawing water from the Mei Geshamim, then there's not going to be, like we learned according to Rashi, there's not going to be a high level of water. And since there's not going to be a high level of water, the Mei Geshamim will involve a tircha. Or, as Rabbeinu Chananel explains, that since it doesn't rain on a regular basis, so there isn't always going to be that much rainwater. There isn't going to be that much rainwater, and it'll be the same as Mei Kilayim. The Kamifki says the Gemara, these two pshatim that Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Ashi offered are arguing over what Rav Zeira said. That if there's water that comes out from a pit, from a place where rainwater gathers, you're allowed to use that water. We're not concerned that that's going to stop. Rav Ashi holds that the reason that we're not allowed to use the Mei Geshamim because we're concerned that it may get lower, but this that's constantly flowing, since it's constantly flowing, we don't need to be concerned about that. And that's why Rav Ashi says it's mutter. Omar, Rav Yochanan, who says that we can never use Mei Geshamim because Chazal were concerned that the Mei Geshamim are similar to the Mei Kilayim. So even though here we have water that's constantly flowing, we still have to be machmer. Gufa, and goes back to Gemara to this halacha. Gufa, Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rabbi Bar Yimi, Amar Shmuel, Nahoris Hamayish Chamayim and Agamim, Mutal Lashkemen B'chol Shmoyed. Eisei Rabbi Yimi, Rav Zeira, it said in the Mishnah, Avloim Mei Geshamim, Veloim Mei Kilayim. So we see that we're not allowed to use Mei Geshamim. So how come we're allowed to use this water that's coming out of the Agamim? Isn't that considered Mei Geshamim? Amalei, so Rav Zeira responds to Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah Bari, Hani Agamim the Bavel, these Agamim that we have in Bavel, Kamayim the Loi Pesik Adamim, the water constantly flows. And when the Mishnah was Machmer, it wasn't Machmer on something that constantly flows. And since these are bodies of water that are constantly flowing, that's why Chazal could be Mekel, by this, that's why Rav Zeira could be lenient. Tanabanan, Hapsikos, pit holes that are not specifically meant to be a place for water to gather, vabreches, or the same thing with breches. Chafiris and breches are just the same, the types of pools, but they're different shapes. So smalamayim of yontif, they're filled up with water from before yontif, even though was ready before Yontif, and the person recognized that he's going to have these bodies of water from which to water his field. Also, lashkman mechol shmoid. He still may not use the mechol shmoid. V'mhois amas amayim averes b'nem. But if there's a canal of water passing through there, mutter, then we are allowed to pass there. So Rashi says that the reason we're not allowed to use these pools to fill to water on chol shmoid is because since they're not steady, we have to be concerned that the water may dry up. Or other Rishonim say there may not be enough water in these pit, in these pools to water the entire field. But the Gemara says, "Em hoisa masamayim averes b'neim," then it's mutter, because there's, even though these pools, the water in the pools may dry up, but the masamayim is constantly traveling there. And since the Masamayim is constantly traveling, you'll be able to water from the Masamayim. There's actually a Machlokas Rishonim. The Gemara uses the words, M'hoysa Masamayim Oiveris B'neim, that the Masamayim passes through. Does the Masamayim actually have to pass through? Or is it sufficient that the Masamayim is right next to these pools that it should be mutter to water from them? Amar Papa, V'hu Sharuba, that when is this permissible? When, if the Masamayim has enough water that it could feed most of the field. And therefore, we don't have to worry that he's going to go bring extra water to water the field. Rav Ashi Amar, Apish and Rubi Shalosh Sada Shoysa, even if most of the field cannot be watered from that Masamayim, kiven the kamashkav asya, since the water in the Masamayim is constantly flowing, meima omer, the person says, eloishos l'chadjama, even if it can't get watered in one day, still, shasya Tishtal treyu tlasu yomer. And therefore, since there's ultimately enough water here, then there's no reason to be concerned that the person is going to be matriach himself to bring other water, something that we discussed many times. There's no concern for tircha, and since there's no concern for tircha, we could be lenient. Tana bottom. Brech shnetefes mayim mistebe shashachin zu. If the water, if the pool of water is dripping water from one base of shachin, mutalashis mena stay base of shachin achas. That means if you have two base of shalkins, one next to each other, and one is higher than the other, and on the side of the upper field, there's this source of water, and then there's a brecha between the two fields, and therefore when you water the upper field, the water then continues going into the lower field, then we can rely that the person will rely on that, and therefore it won't be matriach himself to bring new water. And since he won't be matriach himself to bring new water, we could water both base of shalchins. But ask the Gemara from Vida de Pascha. Sometimes the water will dry up. So why would we be lenient? Amar of Yirmiya, what we learned in the Braisa, we just learned that it's permissible in the Braisa, is only in a situation v'dayin him of taftefes. It's constantly dripping. Since it's continuously dripping, we don't have to be concerned. Amar Abaya, furthermore, says Abaya, this that Rabbi Yirmiya says that we can be lenient is only for Hushlai Pasuk Mayim Arishin, that the original source of water is constantly giving water. But if they're not constantly giving water, then we have to, if it stopped giving water, we cannot be lenient. And Ritva explains that Abaya is not arguing with Rabbi Yirmiya, he's just qualifying what Rabbi Yirmiya said. The other Rishonim that actually suggest that Abaya is disagreeing with Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Yirmiya will always be lenient, and Abaya is qualifying that leniency. Tanya, Rav Shimon Menashe Oimer, Shtei Ruga Zula Malam Azu, if you have two patches, one higher than the other, La Yidla Tachtoina V'yashka Salyoina, don't take water with a pail from the lower patch to the higher patch. Yes, Alkain. Furthermore, Amar Belozer Bar Shimon, Afila Aruga Achas, Chatzi Numa V'chatzi Gvoya, you have one patch that's not level. One side is higher than the other. La Yidla Memakim Namach, don't pour water from the lower side, V'yashka L'mayikim Gvoya, to feed the higher place. Tana Abonin, continues the Braisa, Madlin L'yokris, we could fill up pails of water to water vegetables. Kedei L'ochlan, if the purpose of doing so is to be able to eat those vegetables on Chol HaMoed. V'mosav Shvili HaPoison, but if your only purpose is just to make them grow nicer and bigger, but that's called Harvocha, and as we discussed when we learned the Mishnah, Harvocha is also on Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, Ravina Varava Tasva have a cause of the Urcha. They were traveling on the road. Chazlav Gavra Davidoli Davla. They saw a person that was taking pails of water to water his vegetable patch. Bechol the Moyna Cholamoid. Amalei Rava Tasva Ravina Laisim Al Shamte. Put him into Cherim for violating Hilchas Cholamoid. Amalei. So Ravina said to Rava Tasva, but haven't we just learned Vatanya Madonly Ruckus? If the purpose is to be able to eat the vegetables of Chol HaMoed, we may water the vegetable patch. Amalei, so Rabbi Tasfa said to Ravina, Misavit my Madlin, Madlin Maya. Don't think that the definition of Madlin means that we're allowed to fill up a pail with water. Mai, he explained, my Madlin, what is the definition of Madlin? Shalufei, that we're allowed to pull out vegetable, we're allowed to pull out vegetables that in order to be able to drink it. In other words, I'm pulling out the vegetable, even though it looks like a maisa menachish, it looks like I'm doing it to weed, and we spoke yesterday in the shiur that weeding is asur. This is not considered an act of weeding. It's just, even though it looks like menachish, but its purpose is to be able to eat it, that's mutter. Even though, that's mutter. Kiritnan, hamedel begafanim. If somebody's pulling out the clusters of grapes on a grape tree, we know that you have to leave peah on the field. The halach is that not only are you allowed to do meidel on your own, you're allowed to do it even on the grapes that are designated for aniyim. There's two pshatim in this. One is when the clusters of grapes are next to each other. Another pshat is when the trees are too close to each other. In both cases, the Gemara is saying it's mutter. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Remeya mishloi rishai. You're allowed to do it to the fruit that belongs to you. However, v'enu rishai b'shalaniim, because it doesn't belong to you. And as the Rishonim explained, the Niyim prefer to have more grapes, even though they won't be such high quality, versus you having it, versus having less grapes because you pulled out some of the grapes. So we see that's talking about water, not pulling out vegetables. If that's what the Braisa says, that I have no choice, that's what the Braisa says, and I have to accept it. We learned in the Mishnah, then oisim ugyus l'gefanim. We're not allowed to make ugyus around the grape trees. Ask the Gemara, my ugyus, what does that mean? Amar Yehuda, banki. They used to make ditches around the grape and olive trees, and they would fill it up with water to help the tree grow. Tanya nami hochi, elein ugyus. What is the definition of ugyus? Bedidin shebeikri zeisim shebeikri gefanim. Ditches that are around the olive and grape trees. Eini, ask the Gemara, is that the definition of ugyus? He allowed them to make, he allowed the people in the place by Tzosoi to make banki in their fields. Now, if, ask the Gemara, the definition of ugyus that was mentioned in our Mishnah, banki, and in our Mishnah it says they were not allowed to make ugyus. So how could he have allowed them to make banki if that's ugyos on Chol HaMoed? Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Chob Echadati, Chob Atiki. Our Mishnah that says you're not allowed to make ugyos is talking about ugyos that were never there previously. And as Rashi says, that involves a Tircha Yisera. Whereas if they were there previously and all they just got clogged up with different materials, that doesn't represent the Tircha Yisera, and that's why it's mutter. Another pshat is that chadati, a different Rishonim say, chadati means a new tree. And a new tree is desperate for the water, otherwise it won't grow. And therefore it's permissible. An old tree is not so desperate for the water, and therefore it's aser. We learned in Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, ein oisim es ha'omesh, one is not to make a canal of water during the Chol HaMoed or during Shemitah. Bishlam b'moed, ask the Gemara, I understand why in Chol HaMoed it's prohibited. Bishim dekat tarach, it involves a tircha, which we're not allowed to do in Chol HaMoed. El of Shvius, ask the Gemara, my tama, why is it prohibited to do this in Shemitah year? Says the Gemara, pligibar Reb Zeir of Reb Abba Mamamu. Charam b'mnei shenir ka'oider, it looks like he's digging in the field in the Shemitah year. And as we've been discussing, one may not dig in the field during the Shemitah year. When you dig that canal, you take the earth and you put it on the side of the canal. And that makes that area nice and soft, a good place to plant. Ask the Gemara, my benayu, what's the practical difference between these two reasons? Says the Gemara, ikka benayu, the kosa mai basrayu. If you're digging this canal and water comes right behind the water that you're digging. The one that says that you're worried that you're putting earth, soft earth on the side of the bank. So ikka, that concern applies even if the water comes rushing as you are digging. But Amanda Amr, Neshanir Ka'idr, it's not near Ka'idr. The reason why it's not near Ka'idr is because Ka'idr is just digging. Here, there's water coming, so it's clearly not the act of Ka'idr. Ask the Gemara, that the concern is that it looks like either. So here, as we just said, that concern doesn't exist. But still, why is this man, the Omer, not concerned? Leichish, he should also be concerned that Machsha Gefel is Ria. Elo, says the Gemara, Ike Benayu, the Nafkamina between these two Pshatim, is the Keshokamenei, that you dig out to make the canal, the Shadil of Roy, and you don't put the earth right on the side of the bank. You put it far away. And as the Chazon Ish explains, so what did you accomplish if you threw it far away? So the place where you throw it will have the same concern. It looks like you're preparing it to plant there. So says the Chazon Ish that you throw it just far away and it spreads all over. It only looks like you're preparing earth to plant on when you have a lot of earth like that in one spot. When it's dispersed all over, that concern doesn't exist. So again, hereby throwing the earth far away, we don't have that concern. However, ask the Gemara, so indeed, in this case, we don't have to worry, but still what you're doing looks like either, and it should be usur. Answers the Gemara, either nami, when you do the act of either, they always throw the earth right where you dig it. Here, by not putting the earth right where you dug it, but rather you throw the earth further away, it's clearly not either. So all the concerns, it doesn't look like either because you're not putting the earth there. And it also doesn't look like you're preparing earth for planting because you threw just dispersed the earth, as the Chazanish just taught us. Amemer Masnilop, Amemer explained that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah explained that the reason you're not allowed to make a canal in the Shemitah year, Mnei Shenira Ka'ida. And says the Gemara, the Kashle Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And he had a contradiction in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion. Question is, Miyama Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Kol Shenira Ka'ida. Does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah actually hold that whenever it looks like Oida, it's Asur? Ask the Gemara Vermini. It says in Masech Tashmiyas, Oisa Adam is Zivlei Oitzer, a person could pile together fertilizer in his field, and it doesn't look like he's working on his field. So what? So right away, that we have the question. But first, the Gemara continues to Brisa. Ramei Omer, Ramei says that you're not allowed to put down fertilizer until you put it down 3 tefachim deep, or you lift it up 3 tefachim. If somebody has already a little fertilizer there, then he can add to it. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Oyser. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that you're not allowed to put fertilizer, even if you already have pre-existing fertilizer, unless you put it deep down 3 tefachim, or raise it up 3 tefachim, until you put it on top of a stone in the field, so it doesn't look like you're fertilizing. So the question is, why did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah allow this? Why isn't he concerned, just like he said in our Mishnah, that we're not allowed to dig a canal? Answers the Gemara, Reb Zeri, Reb Abba Mamalmo, in answering this question, Chadam Amakon Shehemek, that you already dug this pit, you dug the earth before Shemitah, so therefore it's obvious that you're not trying to fertilize your field. When you put fertilizer, the fertilizer is the greatest proof that it is not your intention to do anything but to fertilize the field. We learned in the Mishnah, ask the Gemara, what does that mean? My Mekukolis, says the Gemara, Amar of Abba, Shemhoisa Muka Tefach, that if you had an amasa mayim that was originally 6 tefachim deep, which is the normal depth of an amasa mayim, and got clogged up, and now you only have a depth of a tefach, the halacha is you could dig the extra 5 tefachim to get back to that 6 tefachim deep amasa mayim. Pshita, says the Gemara, chatzi tefach ha-shloshe tefachim, if you only had originally an amasa mayim that was a half tefach wide with 3 tefachim deep. So again, you still have the ratio of 6 to 1. So still, kivin d'lo yavo mayim, it's too insignificant for water to pass through. Laf klumhu, you're not allowed to dig that type of an amasa mayim. But tefachayim ha-shnei maser, if you have an amasa mayim which is 12 tefachim deep by a width of 2 tefachim. So again, you have the 6 to 1 ratio. Still, kivin the katark tirchi yaseira, since it involves exerting yourself, digging the 12 tefachim deep, loy, you may not do it on cholamayit. But the question is, tefachayim al shiva, you had a masamayim which was 7 tefachim deep and 2 tefachim wide. Ma, hocha chamisha kamamik, hocha chamisha kamamik. We just said that if you started with 6, and you're left with 1, you're allowed to dig it, because you're only digging 5 tefachim. So here too, you're only digging 5 tefachim, and it should be mutter. Adama, or perhaps kiven deket tefach yisera. Here there is an extra tefach. We're digging down to 7 tefachim, and it's really only necessary to have 6 tefachim. That represents a tircha tfei. It represents a tircha yisera, which may not be done a chol hamoed. Says the Gemara Teiku. Abaye Shari lebnei bar Hamdach. Abaye allowed the people who lived in the village of Hamdach l'shchufei nara to take off, to pull out the branches of the trees that are in the river. That means there was branches that started growing out of the river, and he allowed them to pull them out. Reb Yirmiya Sharalei lebnei Sachvasa lemichra nara b'tamima. He allowed them that there was a river that got clogged up because of different earth and stones that fell there, and they stopped and they prevented the water from running to clear it out. Ravashi Sharlu lebnei Basa Machasya leduchei nara burnitz. He allowed to the hole where the water from the river Burnitz passed out of the river. He allowed them to fix that hole. Omer kivin the shasim and they rabim. Since so many people rely on that water, rabim dami. It's considered tzarich rabim. And as we learned at the end of the Mishnah, for Tanan, Eisen called tzarich rabim. We're allowed to do anything. It's tzarich rabim, and the Ritva explains what the Gemara is teaching us is that truthfully you could get to that water. It's just not so easy to get to it. As long making it easier to access the water is also included in the heter of tzarich rabim.